Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here with Bryce Lamson from the Entity Framework team. What are you doing on this team?
I'm a software engineer. I've primarily been working on a lot of the SQLite stuff and also a lot of the migration stuff.
Cool. So what do you want to talk about today?
I kind of wanted to go over some of the improvements we've been making to migrations.
Fantastic.
In Entity Framework 7.
So for those that don't know, what are migrations? What do they do?
So migrations are ways of getting your schema changes back to the database. So you imagine you have a person, you've been developing a while, and suddenly you want to add their birth date to the model. So you need to add that to your class, which then eventually needs to get added to the database.
Right.
So you need to alter the table to include that new property.
So is this like an all or nothing type thing? Like say you want to make a change, you need to update the model. What if you want to make another change, or what if you want to roll back? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, so migrations kind of lets you put things into little buckets, you know, whatever, however small you want them. And then, yeah, you can roll some back. You can apply specific ones. You can take them to some other developer's machine and apply them there incrementally. So
that's
just
cool.
A way of managing your schema changes.
So what's new with migrations in any framework? What do you want to show us?
So we can dive right in. I have a project here. And the first thing you'll want to do is install the Entity Framework dot. First you need a provider. So in this project, I've already installed the .SQL Server provider. And then sort of in addition to the provider that you're going to be using in your application, you need to install the commands package. So in Entity Framework 6, these were all just kind of together in a single gigantic package.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we've tried to do in Entity Framework 7 is pull things out into the pieces that you need. So you can imagine, I don't need to deploy the commands. They're just there for the developer time experience.
I see.
So by breaking it out into a separate package, you don't have the cost of, you know, pushing that up to the server and it just living there doing nothing for the life of your application. So once you install the Entity Framework commands package, I've actually already installed it, so this should do nothing.
We'll give it a second to do nothing. Sometimes
there's surprisingly nothing takes a long time. Okay, so, and then obviously just to kind of bootstrap our application here, I'm gonna just pull in a context so that we can use. So just a simple DB context, as you'd expect. It has a single set of people, override on configuring to use SQL Server, and just some, you know, target local DB, give the database
the
a
people's
name.
Database, obviously.
Yeah. And then just a tiny little class here, person, which has a single thing called ID. So obviously not very compelling, but enough to get us to show what's new in migrations. So the first thing I'm going to do is add a migration.
And these commands that you're doing, for example, add migration, maybe update or do whatever, are all coming from the commands package that you installed just previously.
Yeah, so you install the NuGet package and it lights up new command, additional commands inside of the package manager console here. So already we're a step ahead of what you had to do in Entity Framework 6. So whenever you wanted to start using migrations in Entity Framework 6, the first thing you had to type was enable migrations. And what that did was scaffold out sort of a migrations configuration to sort of tie the pieces together, you know, what context are you using, what code are you using, Visual Basic or C#. So sort of out of the box in Entity Framework 7, they're just enabled. So you can immediately start adding migrations. So I'll add this migration. It will see that I have a new model, you know, no previous model. And it will scaffold out a migration class, or rather a class that derives from migration.
Okay, so that initial create that you did when you did add-migration, initial create, that is the name that you're giving it for that particular snapshot of the database.
Yeah, so you can imagine, you know, you have version 1 migration, version 2 migration. Those probably aren't granular enough, but you kind of get the idea. Like,
right.
I want to take my users from V1 to V2.
Got it.
And then over here, inside of my project, it adds a migrations folder and drops in a C# file with a magic designer file here. You can completely ignore the designer file.
So, what's it for?
It's just a little extra metadata, like, you know, what's the name of this migration, so we don't have to figure out file names.
Got it.
What version was used to scaffold this in case, you know, oh, we made a breaking change, so we need to compensate for that between different migrations. Like, the killer there in AF6 was we changed the default name of indexes.
Ah. I see.
So then when you try and drop an index in a new version, the default isn't what you expect, so it just kind of blows up.
I see.
So this lets you kind of compensate for convention changes.
It feels like this is a code check-in, but for your database.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So you can think of the migrations as SQL scripts. So they kind of have two directions of SQL. You know, I want to apply this migration. I want to bring the database up to this migration, and then down here, I want to undo this migration. I want to take it down. So in the up, this is something that's changed. Also, before this method didn't take any parameters. So one of the big limitations we found in Entity Framework 6 was that it's kind of hard to extend this. So you can't do extension methods unless you explicitly type this dot, and people don't like to do that. Yeah. So we made the pattern more similar to on model creating. We pass you a builder, you call methods on the builder.
So theoretically, you could write your own migration class yourself.
Yes, you can handcraft these migrations. So what we spit out by default is the things we discovered from your model. If you have an auditing table that you don't really map to anything, you can just go directly in here and start, do migration builder or migration dot add tables out of band.
I see.
Or create table, sorry. So you can add additional things that aren't being tracked in your model but may need to be in the database.
Oh, that's cool. So you can edit these files and they become part of your code base.
Yeah, these are yours. That's kind of, I'm very careful to use the term scaffolding. We give you the initial cut. You own it after that. Do whatever you want to this. If you don't like the way we format it by default, please change it.
It's just a way to type a lot of the stuff that you would have otherwise had to type yourself. Instead, we'll let the computer type the changes that it discovers in the model.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do everything we can. The rest is up to you to be on that. So just to show an example of writing an extension method, one example I have here is, I have this pre-coded because you don't want to sit here and watch me code.
No, but I do.
No, you don't.
Okay.
So you can imagine I want to frequently create, or no, maybe not frequently, but I want to be able to create synonyms in my database. This is something that Entity Framework doesn't do by default. We really don't have the concept in your model. But if you want to have a simple extension method called, create synonym, and it just spits out this SQL here, you can then go in your migration and say, use this to create a synonym. And it just shows up as an extension method. So you can imagine library writers would want to author, packages of little extra things I want to be able to grant permissions to users as part of my migrating the database.
Got it.
I want to create a synonym called persons. Did I spell that right? For the people table. And if you look at this create table statement, it's very similar to what you would write in SQL. But the best part is you don't have to know anything about SQL.
Right.
So, create table person, and I have these columns here. There's a column called ID. The column type is going to be integer. It's not nullable. In SQL Server, it's going to be identity. So it kind of captures all the stuff you need to generate DDL or SQL. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to know anything about that, and that may be different across databases. So you imagine SQLite has one dialect, SQL Right. Server has another dialect. This is sort of a loose abstraction just over the top of those.
Looks like in the create synonym, you're using a new C# feature. Just wanted to point that out. Can you go up to create synonym?
Oh, yes.
What is that feature? Just because people probably looked at that and maybe said, I've never seen that. What does that do?
This is the awesome way of doing string.format. So instead of doing curly brace 0 and passing in name and for object, you just do it inline. And it's great because you get IntelliSense. You can do 2 upper, right inline.
It's like C# code inside of those little curly braces.
Yes.
For string interpolation, but string.format.
Yep. I love C# 6, and I use it everywhere I can.
All right, fantastic.
A few other things we did here. Previously, before adding another migration in Entity Framework 6, you would have to apply the migration to the database. This was kind of limiting because it's like you have this two-step thing, add a migration, update the database, add a migration, update the database. What we've done in Entity Framework 7 is streamline that. There's a lot of complexity that we took out actually to enable this. But so you can imagine, I forgot to add the person's first name. or name.
Right.
So you can just go right ahead and do add migration. And add another migration without ever applying them to the database. So these are all like scripts that are kind of queued up locally that you can then go and apply to your database.
I see.
If I could spell migration, you'd think working on migrations.
Yeah, I have a hard time spelling pretty much anything.
My biggest fear is that will be on like public API.
Right.
Spelled, I'm like, oh, that wasn't me. So here I've just gone and added another thing here.
So previously it would force those changes to the database? Is that what you're saying? What's the difference between EF6 and EF7 with this?
So before adding another migration, I would have had to do update database to actually push those changes to the database.
I see.
Whereas now we kind of let you queue things up locally and then ship them off as a batch to the database.
And as I saw before, there's like a migrations table that will tell you where it's at, and the code will figure out which migration files it needs to run.
Yeah, when you go to apply it, the database knows where it's at, and migrations pipeline figures out, okay, which ones do I need to apply?
Got it.
So there's a lot of other subtle improvements we've made to the experience here. So if I want to add another migration here. So you can imagine you're using two contexts in an application. Previously, you would have to like type the fully qualified name every time you invoked a command. So some of the things we've done to make that easier in PowerShell is to add tab completion. So if I have a context here, it will just auto-populate it. You can imagine if I have my ASP.NET identity context and my application context, I could just easily up and down between the two of those. So it's just a subtle developer experience improvement to make your lives better, we hope.
That's cool, yeah.
And obviously, if you have multiple projects, you could either, take your hand off your keyboard, go to this drop-down box and select a project, or you can just use tab completion to
Got
get
it.
There. So I'll go ahead and add an empty migration. I don't know if a lot of people know you can do this. If you don't have any model changes, you just get a blank up and down method, and you could go in here and just do stuff.
And you might call it like, I need to update some metadata that the model, that the context needs to know nothing about, but I still want to have it as its own discrete step.
Yep.
Got it.
Let's see, what else did I want to cover? Oh, something else that's new is this class here called the model snapshot. So previously, so this is the way migrations figures out what changed in your model. Every time you add a migration, we take a snapshot of your current model. And then when you go and add another migration, we actually do a diff between those, saying, okay, this is what it was, this is what it is now. Okay, I need to create the persons table, I need to drop this table, et cetera. The biggest problem was this snapshot was stored in the individual migrations. So they're separate files on disk. So if you're working in a team environment, and two developers, this guy renames the name column to first name, this guy renames it to full name, there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
Previously in EF6, you just kind of had to know how it all worked to understand that that's going to cause a conflict, and you wouldn't get any sort of notice
right.
until you went to update migrations. Mm. And so having this in a single file, we can actually go in and look at it. It's just got a single method called build model, and it looks very similar to on model creating. We pass in a model builder, the exact same type. We add entities, person with properties. You may notice that these are strings. That's because the types are constantly changing,
right.
So we can't go against the type. But for example, if I renamed this to full name, someone else renamed it to first name, I would get a version control conflict right there. And that's a hint to me like, oh, I have conflicting migrations. I need to go in and resolve that. So whereas before it was just silently get mangled, now we kind of give you a hint like, hey, something is going to go wrong here.
So is the snapshot the current state of what the model is on the client side?
Yeah. So it's what your program is sort of using, like the context you're coding against.
Because it might not necessarily be what is reflected in the database until you run the migrations.
Yes.
Okay, and I think that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. So this does add one level of complexity. Before, you used to just be able to delete these files, migration files, when you didn't want to do it. But now you'll also have to revert the migration snapshot or the model snapshot. Okay. So we've added a new command that's called, and you can actually see it right here. Like, hey, if you want to undo this migration, use this command. So and what this command does is just undoes the last migration. So if you watch it over here, it should disappear. And it said it removed it.
Maybe hit refresh.
There we go. Refresh.
Oh,
it is
gone.
All right. Anyway. So.
Looks like it was gone in the file's gone, but the project for some reason still thinks it has it.
Yes, I will look into that bug.
Hey, you know what? I mean, we're getting some early access looks at this stuff, which is okay. No one minds. I think the cool thing is that we're now talking about these things even before we're releasing them, way before.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff I work on day to day, so cool. It's pretty awesome. So now you actually have these migrations and you want to make the changes to your database. If you're sort of on a local dev box, what you use is apply migration. So this command used to be called update database. Don't worry, if you type update database, we'll do the same thing. We'll give you a little warning saying we changed the name, but feel free to type update database. Mm-hmm. So this will go and apply it to the local database. Apparently I had a mistake in my migration here. Yes, I created, I don't know, anyway, somewhere.
Oh, it's the synonym thing.
Yeah, I think my synonym is the same name as the original one. Let's just go in and remove that.
Okay.
Apply migration here. Anyway, so my database is probably out of date. Let's go in and delete it. Blow away the database, start over.
Perfect. There you go.
Okay.
They probably got out of sync somehow.
Yeah, I was probably using the same database name while demoing, while figuring out what to do.
Cool.
So, all right, so that works great for a local dev box, but you can't imagine a DBA is going to let you open Visual Studio and connect to your production database and run update database. So
not without hurting you.
Yeah. So, we have alternatives. One alternative is script migration. And this is generates a SQL script, but it never touches a database. So you could imagine, and there's tab completion here too. So if I want to go from, say, I know my database is at this first one.
Got it.
And then I want to go to version 2, or the second one, you can imagine. I can generate a script for that. Never looks at a database, it just generates SQL. You can hand this SQL script to your DBA, who will then rigorously review it, make sure you're not doing anything awful, and then apply it to the database. Another case we have is, I don't know what my database is at, or maybe I have a cluster, some are at V1, some are at V3. I want to take them all up to a specific version. We have this flag called idempotent, a very functional programming word.
Fancy word.
Yeah. Basically, all that means is if you generate the script, it's really easy to see what it does. So has this migration been applied to the database? So it looks in the migration history table.
Cool.
If it has not been applied to the database, it'll run the script. And it does that for each migration. So no matter where your database is at, it will bring you up to date.
That's nice.
And then the final way, if you can imagine, you know, Entity Framework runs on the phone now, which is awesome to me. Like, I carry it around in my pocket all day. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
You can't really run SQL scripts on a database on a phone, right?
Oh.
So the third way of sort of applying migrations, if we go to our program main, don't do this in your program main, but, you know, as part of your application upgrade logic, you know, they just installed V3, they were at V2. We have a little helper method here off of your context, .database.applyMigrations. And so this will, at runtime, when your app is running, do the exact same thing we've seen with apply migration and generating scripts. It will go through and make sure the database is up to date.
That's cool. And that's something you might do like when you're on your phone, for example, using a local SQLite database.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a local cache for offline data. You change the server schema from in V2. You need when you deploy V2 of your app, that you want to keep the user's local data, but you don't want to have them do crazy who knows what.
Got it. That's cool. So. All right. Well, That's pretty cool. Any other cool things that we can look at for migrations, or is there somewhere we can look to start learning about these things?
So I've written a few blog posts. Oh, there's one other really cool feature that I kind of want to show. This is just a you know, delight the developer sort of thing. So one other really weird thing I thought of, I don't even know why we did this, but I thought it was cool. So if you want to put your migration somewhere else, like say, you know, I have my people context, and so this is the my people migrations. I just want to click and drag and move these here. If I add migration now, you know, a naive approach would say, oh, just stick it in the default place. Like, how would I know about this? I just moved files. But if you watch closely, it adds it under the people folder. So we kind of do this by looking at the last migration you did and say, oh, they want their migrations there. So we follow suit and put them there.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can imagine, like, you want to group all your version 1 migrations, all your version 2 migrations, and we'll just kind of semi-intelligently say, try and figure out what you're trying to tell us to do. Like, you know, you own the experience. The tool works for you. You don't have to work around the tool sort of
thing.
That's
awesome. So. Well, show us where your blog is so we can go and look at your stuff.
Sure. So my blog's really easy. It's just my alias name, which is bryslam.net.
There's lots of birds on
your blog. That's kind of creepy.
Nice.
All right, so you can see I have a few different posts here.
That's some good CSS you got going there, bud.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm a developer. I don't do much.
Of course. Well, that's cool. So just go there to learn more. And also, if you want to sort of get a good feel for how to get started, is there a place that you can do that?
Yeah, if you go to our GitHub repository, there's a good getting started place that Rowan keeps up to date for us. So github.com/ASP.NET, Entity Framework. In fact, if you scroll down, it's right here. Getting started, go to this wiki page. At least I thought it was there. Getting and building the code, perhaps.
Got it.
Anyway, somewhere in the wiki, there's great information about how to get started. Oh, here it is. With like traditional .NET applications, phone apps, Azure Table Storage, which is no longer.
Got it. Database, but. Well, this is cool stuff. Cool stuff. I can't talk today. This is stuff cool. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.